Good afternoon, church. I pray that as I speak this morning, that the Holy Spirit will manifest in me in a supernatural way, in such a way that even I will minister to myself.
Amen.
I pray that my word is timely for every individual in this room, and it will speak to your individual situations. I know that God has placed me here for a reason. And just as many of us, even if I try to resist, just like Jonah, we cannot escape God's will for our lives. The message, well, the theme of my message today is God dwells in dark clouds. And in other translation, it could say God dwells in thick darkness. And just to start off with, I'll just give a bit of a brief testimony about myself. So I grew up in East London, Newham. I grew up in Stratford. Primary school upbringing, normal, just as you would expect. But as you go into secondary school, you know, there's a lot of influences from friends. And I was involved in a lot of things that when I look back at my life, I sort of think to myself, wow, how was that a norm to me? Going around, getting into fights, carrying knives, drugs, robberies, being stabbed, watching other people get stabbed. And for me, that was a norm to me. So that was my life, living in that darkness, living in that place of darkness, and it was normal to me. I've got a DBS that's like 4 pages long. And for those who work with young people, you know what a DBS is. A DBS is what was formerly known as a CRB, so a criminal records check. And on my criminal records check, robbery, theft, possession of an offensive weapon, you name it, it was on there. And I remember my last offence, going to court and getting a 12-month conditional discharge. Which basically meant within that 12 months, if I had done anything, straight to prison. So that was the choice that I was making at that age, and that was the darkness that I was living in. But we thank God for his love,
Amen.
For his mercy and his grace, because I can stand here in front of you all and say, I'm 3 years now working as a head of year at a secondary school. So the same boy that was going around Newham, terrorising other boys and getting into fights and doing what else, now the responsibility is on me for the next generation. So the same boy that grew up, you know, with no dad, and not to say that in a way that had an impact on me, because my mum is an amazing woman and she did so many great things for me. That same boy is going into meetings in school and parents are saying to me, look after my son. Dad's not here, you need to be the father in this situation. The same boy that was carrying knives and being stabbed, I'm 5 years working as a knife crime prevention facilitator. So local authorities get in touch with me and say, can you run workshops and facilitation groups for our young people? I'm in a position now where I'm seeing myself and I'm looking back at the darkness that I was in and I think to myself, wow. I could have never imagined now being married to my beautiful wife. Owning a house and doing so many amazing things that I'm doing now. But honestly, we thank God, because I look back at my time and I would say that I was in that dark cloud. I was in that darkness. A man jailed a minimum of 30 years for murder. 3 youths jailed for life for East London murder. Man sentenced to 5 years for causing death by dangerous driving. Man charged 5 years for GBH and possession of an offensive weapon. 15-year-old boy fatally stabbed to death outside London Church Hall. 16-year-old was found guilty of possession of ammunition, possession of a loaded revolver, a loaded shotgun with intent to endanger life, and 2 counts of possession of an offensive weapon. Teenager must serve a minimum of 25 years in prison for murder. Man who supplied drugs to more than 270 dealers, jailed for 42 years. Teenage girl stabbed at a house party. For everyone here, I've just read out statistics. But these are people that I grew up with. I could have said the names, but the names would have been irrelevant to you. But they were relevant to me. Because these were people that came to my house, celebrated birthdays with me, sleepovers. Thank you very much. Sleepovers. And they're either victims, dead and buried, or in jail serving life sentences. So no one can look at these statistics and think, actually, God was not there dwelling with me in that dark place. Darkness means absence of light. Absence of light means absence of God, for God is light.
Yes.
And when we think about our own situations, when we're in times of darkness, it's when we're going through something, or we've sinned, or we've done wrong, and we're in that place of darkness, and we can't find God, and we can't feel good. And that is why sometimes, for some of us, maybe, but I can speak for myself definitely, when I've been in that place of darkness, I come to church and my spirit ain't right, because I know I'm in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Because outside in the world I've come from,
yeah,
I've come from a dark place. And the worship team can be singing, or the pastor can be preaching, but I just feel uncomfortable because it's not compatible. But we thank God for his grace.
Yes. Yeah.
Because God says that he would dwell in dark clouds.
Mm.
He would dwell in your darkness.
Yeah.
And the meaning of dwelling is living in that situation.
That's right.
And I look back at every situation that I was in, and I think to myself, God must have been there. And he was living in that situation. Whether I chose to accept it or not, God was dwelling there. And sometimes we think, do you know what, let me get my house sorted, let me clean up everything before I let anyone in to come and visit. Or let me wash the dishes before I allow anyone to come and dine with me. But such is God's grace and love for us that he says, do you know what, the situation that you're in right now, I will dwell in it.
Yes.
I will come and live with you in that darkness. So yes, Yannick, you're walking around carrying knives, but I'm there with you, trying to help you, trying to show you the way. And for many of us, whatever dark situations that we're going through, whether we choose to accept it or not, God is dwelling with you in that dark cloud. And I'm very pressed on this message because I think about the young students that I see at my school every day, the young people in our society, and they're just going around killing each other. No value for their own lives and no value for other people's lives. But they need to understand that God is dwelling with them in that dark cloud, in that dark situation. And truly, we thank God for his mercy. We need to understand his being and his might and his glory. Because the word says that even darkness is not dark to him.
That's right. That's true.
Mm. So there's been times when we've been in that darkness and we feel, do you know what? I can't even pray. How can I pray to God after what I've done? After what I've been through? But not understanding that actually your darkness is nothing to him. Your darkness is not darkness to him. And I honestly thank God for my mother and my grandmother's life. Because when I was in that time of darkness, they were always praying for me. This is before I found God. They were always praying for me. Because they knew that there was a warfare going on. I was too busy with the warfare in the world.
That's right.
As many of our young people are fighting against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
Fighting for postcodes and areas and houses that they don't own.
Yeah.
The warfare of the world, carrying weapons of the world.
Yeah.
Not understanding the weapons that they should be carrying are the weapons that God speaks to us about in Ephesians. The armor, the sword of prayer.
Yeah.
That's the weapons that we need to be carrying.
Yeah.
So I truly thank God for my grandmother and mum's life. And I remember when I was getting into trouble when I was younger, my mum would always send me to my grandmother's house. And my grandmother wasn't strict, never laid hands on me, but she was prayerful. And that hurt me most.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't compatible with that.
That's right.
So I felt so uncomfortable being in her presence.
Mm.
The prayers, the singing, the worship. Honestly, I couldn't bear it.
Yeah.
I hated going to her house.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I know.
But they were praying and they were doing something that I could not see.
Mm.
And that we need to do.
That's right.
For ourselves and for the young people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Of our generation. And that's intercessory prayer. We need to pray for them because they're in that dark clouds. They're in that thick darkness. And when we think about when, you know, when you're at home and you want to wake up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet and you want to switch on the light, but as you're going to switch on the light, you're in darkness. So you're stumbling over Lego pieces or your shoes or you're kicking your little toe on the side of the bed because you can't see what you stumble over. Our young people are in darkness and they can't see what they stumble over. And just like my mum and grandmother did for me, we need to pray on their behalf. There's a scripture in Luke that I read years ago and it impressed me, and the scripture was when Jesus said to Simon, I believe, Simon, I have prayed for you so that you do not lose faith. And that was the first time in the Bible, and there could be other times and I just haven't read it yet, but that was the first time in the Bible that I had read that Jesus had prayed for someone else. He knew the power of praying for someone else's behalf. I'm sure he could have just said, there you go, your faith has been restored. But he said, you know what, Simon, I'm praying for you. I'm doing something for you on your behalf. Although we don't understand it, or we may not acknowledge it, the reason for intercessory prayer is that there is a gap. There is a gap between the world and God. There is a gap between the young people that are going around stabbing people, killing people, and God. And we need to bridge that gap.
Yes.
Because the gap means that there's a hedge. There's something in between that's missing, that's not allowing two objects or two people or two entities to connect. So we need to bridge that gap. There's a word in Ezekiel that talks about standing in the gap. Ezekiel 22 verse 29 to 31. It says, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. God was basically saying, I needed someone to pray. I needed someone to pray, and I couldn't find anybody who would. So I had to destroy the land. Let me just go back to that, because when I first read that, it pressed me. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Imagine God came now and spoke to us about our needs and our prayers and the things that we want, and our young people and the generation and the darkness that we're in. And he said to us, you know, I was ready to sort it out. I was ready to go. I just needed one person. I just needed one person. But I found none. That one person could have made a major difference. Church, we need to be willing to pray and to intercede for others. There could be many reasons why people are not praying or seeking God in whatever dark cloud they're in or whatever situation they're in. But we have a responsibility to intercede on their behalf. We have a responsibility to pray for them and to be there for them. So the last message for me, that as we go into this new year, whatever dark cloud you're in, whatever darkness that you're in, whatever darkness that someone else is in, family, friends, wives, husband, partners, people that you work with, intercede. Close that hedge. Be that one man or that one woman that God sought so he could fix the situation. And allow God to have, he say, not only in your lives, but their lives.
Amen.
Thank you, church.
Amen. Praise God. Just stay there a minute, Yannick. I was really moved as Yannick was speaking, because I'm believing that God is doing great things. He's raising up young men and young women who are going to bring about transformation in this world.
Amen.
And even in the church. My prayer is the anointing of God will be released.
Amen.
Upon people.
Amen.
Not just young, but people who are willing to stand up and proclaim the word of God. And I just want us right now to just stand together. And I want you to stretch your hands towards Yannick. And just prophesy over him. prophesy over him. I'm going to prophesy over him. And I'm going to release what God has given me to give him. Out of him will flow rivers of living water. Lord, right now, I declare, even as your people are stretching your hands at this young man, you said, young man, I call you because you're strong. Lord, we need more than ever in the church today people who are going to stand, God, and proclaim your gospel, proclaim your words, and be a prophetic word in this season. Lord, and in the name of Jesus right now, I release your anointing upon Yannick for great things, for the days that are to come, that he will speak with power and authority. Lord, I declare this over him in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, Yannick. So just in case you didn't know what we've been trying to do, we thank God we've made a really good start with this. We've been doing these Next Gen Sundays where we're trying to encourage and raise up leaders who are going to be the next apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and praise and worship leaders and prayer warriors, leaders for this generation. And we thank God. Didn't he do well? You know, thank you, Yannick. You know what? It's not easy to stand up here and look at your faces, as beautiful as you are, and preach. You know, it's a hard thing. Do you think when I stand here, it's easy for me? Praise God. And so, we want to do this. We want to continue to do this. And I'm sure we're going to have Yannick again in the near future to come and speak again. And eventually, Yannick, you will have all the time. And we just thank God for you. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to bring just a few minutes, a few thoughts based on not necessarily what Yannick's been speaking about, but something within the same region. And I was thinking about when Yannick told me what he was going to speak on, immediately what came to me is this title: I'm in hell right now, but you are with me. Anybody in hell? Psalm 46 and verse 7 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." I want to say that again because I want you to get this in your spirit and think about it. What Yannick has said this morning, what he's saying is, even in the dark places, the God of Jacob is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. When I was thinking about what I should bring this morning, I feel that what I needed to do was encourage somebody. And God spoke to my heart about having compassion for others, just like Yannick was saying, because people are really hurting right now. People are hurting in the church. People are in need. Beyond the smiles and the laughter, there is pain and there is darkness, even in the church. And when Yannick approached me about speaking some time ago, it was interesting that for a few weeks after that, we began to look at spiritual battles that people were going through. Our guest speaker, I don't know if you remember, some weeks ago, Pastor Edward Adjiman, he spoke, "This man is anointed." Do you remember him? Anointed preacher. But he spoke about how he was battling with depression. And when Yannick it spoke to me, my heart went out to people. People who are battling with depression, battling with hurt, battling with things of the mind. And there was one Wednesday in our Wednesday meeting, we were praying for people who were battling with stuff. A young boy, 10 years old, he was 10 years old, battling with depression. Now, these problems cannot be cured by medicine. They can only be cured by the power of God. Only be cured by the power of God. And I know in this season, many people are fighting many battles. Some battles being fought with self. Do you know that people fight with themselves? I've had wrestling matches with myself. You might laugh, but I'm not crazy. And I bet you many of us fight with ourselves. I'll share that one with you later. Some being fought in dark places. Places where nobody knows about. Battles being fought behind closed doors, mental wars, strongholds in areas where nobody knows. Yannick shared with us how God dwelt with him in dark times. And sometimes I want to tell you right now that God will take you out of the darkness. But sometimes he might have to just take you through it. But you will get through it. I want to tell you something here. That whatever position you find yourself in today, God is with you. He's with you. The Bible said that he will never leave you, Yannick, nor forsake you. The times you're running around with knives and guns and drugs, I want to tell you that God was with you and he brought you through it and he brought you right here so that you can be a witness. His promises stand. He will never leave us. That is the word for somebody. You might be feeling down, depressed, oppressed, whatever. God says he will never leave you nor forsake you. If for some reason you find yourself in hell, or you're going through hell, do you know that you can be in church and be in hell at the same time? Even there, God is with you. If you feel you have made it and you just don't need God's help anymore, I want to tell you that God is still with you. Wherever you go, God is there. David says this in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. Where can I go from your spirit? Oh, where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Whatever trouble you are in, you're not in it by yourself.
God is there with you. He is in the midst of her. Psalm 23 says, which we know very well. I was brought upon this, and you know this very well. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. I come with a word for somebody today. You are going through hard and difficult times. The darkness is all around you, but God says, fear not. I am with you. I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. What confidence David had. Who wouldn't want to be like David? Called, anointed by God at a young age, called by God. The Bible tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. He won battles. It seems as if it was easy for David. Won battles when he's faced with the lion and the bear with his bare hands, he destroyed them. Stood before Goliath and with one stone destroyed him. Who wouldn't want to be like David? He's praised by people around him. But I want to tell you that even David, as anointed as he was, as blessed as he was, even David faced dark times. Even David faced dark times. He's tempted like everybody else. Anybody has ever been tempted? He's tempted like everybody else, and he fell. But David shares his experience with us. How God, through all those times, was still with him. At one point, he cried out to God in Psalm 51, verse 11, says, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. I don't know if you're anything like me. I don't know if anyone has ever felt void of the Spirit of God. Let's be honest. Well, you feel so empty and so dry. You feel like you're all alone. But I want to tell you that even in those times, God is with you. David should have been at war. But he found himself committing adultery, sleeping with Bathsheba when he should have been at war. Called by God, but failed him. Anointed, but failed God. I know many of us can look back today, just like Yannick did. And remember, when you're in trouble, remember when you were, if you can just look back and remember, when you were in trouble, when you felt void of the Spirit of God, and actually you probably didn't know him. But the mercy and the grace of God would not let you go. Where would we be if it was not for the grace of God? We're in a dark place, but God was there with us. Actually, most of the times we forgot that he's there, but he was always there. I should have been dead. Yannick was saying that I should have been dead because of what I've done. But God was there. I could have been in prison, he said, but God was there. In Psalm 23, the that we read, David testified. And he says that God restored me, restored my soul. He said that I was close to death. I was in a dark place. Actually, if you know this story, Saul was after David to kill him out of jealousy. He was after him, cave after cave. He was running after this young man to destroy him because of jealousy. Jealousy kills. Do you know that jealousy is in the church? He was often on the run. In dark places, he was downcast. David was downcast. And oftentimes, he had to talk to himself. There are some people who will fight with themselves, and there are others who will talk to themselves. When I'm feeling a little down, I will talk to myself. I will encourage myself in the Lord. He says in Psalm 53, verse 5, he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast?" This is David talking to himself. Why are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put, he says, he's talking to himself. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I want to tell somebody, if you're feeling down today, if you're feeling downcast, can I tell you how to get out of it? When you begin to praise God, if you can lift yourself above your situation, just like David did, and praise God, he lifts you out of your troubles. If you can find the strength just to do that, to praise God, this is what David did all the time. He would get his instrument and he sung songs unto God, and he praised God. He's talking to himself. Why are you downcast? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Amen. You will never have any peace or any confidence unless you know who is with you. Let me say that again. You will never have any peace. You will never have confidence unless you know who is with you. And I've come to tell you today, the person who is with you is the Lord of hosts. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with you. Amen. The God of Jacob is your refuge. The Lord of hosts is one of his names. And this literally means in Hebrew, Lord of armies. And there are many armies, I want to tell you, in heaven, even on earth, there are many armies of God. And it refers to a multitude of warriors, heavenly armies under God's command. Cherubims, seraphims, the heavenly creatures, and angels, including celestial bodies like the sun. Did you not know that? The sun and the moon and the stars. Jeremiah 31:30-35 says, "It's thus saith the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves. The Lord of hosts is his name." When you have the Lord of hosts with you, whatever situation you are in, I want to tell you that you're going to win. You're going to come out victorious. You're going to come out triumphant when the Lord of hosts is with you. And I've come to tell somebody today, whatever position you find yourself, you might be even in hell right now, and I want to tell that the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, is with you. Oh, yes. When I think about that, I'm going to tell you, it gets me excited. Because I know whatever situation I find myself, even tomorrow, I know that God is with me. The Lord armies. He's getting ready with the angels and the cherubims. And he's saying, I'm standing next to Brian Jones.
Hallelujah.
He's not only the Lord of hosts, but he is the God of Jacob.
Ah.
You see, Matthew 22, verse 32 says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God, this one is not in here, but the God of Brian. He is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. He is the God of the living. And just in case you forget, I believe what God wants to remind us is that just in case you forget who I am the God. Just take a look. I'm the God of Abraham. Abraham, who I made the father of many nations. Abraham, who I blessed. A child at the age of 100 and his wife at 90 when it was impossible. I am the God of Abraham. Remember. I stand with Abraham, the Lord of hosts, the miracle worker, the deliverer, the healer, the provider. He says, in case you forget who I am the God of Isaac. Abraham's son. God is a God of generations. We spoke about, Yannick spoke about this younger generation that is coming up. I've got to tell you, sometimes I get worried about this generation. Because I'm moving on, and there's a generation that is coming. But I want to remind this generation that God is in control, and God is with them. And he's the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, a generational God. Hallelujah. We're worried about our sons and our daughters. I tell somebody today that God is with them. You know what Isaac means? Isaac is a son of promise. And his name means laughter. Oh, he will laugh. You know, sometimes when God comes and he does miraculous and amazing things, sometimes we will laugh. Because we don't believe. Abraham laughed. And Sarah laughed. I wondered why they laughed. And so the son that they produce, the miracle that God provided in their old age was called laughter. I've come to tell somebody today that you're about to laugh. Your sorrows is about to turn into joy. I bring a word to somebody in here. God says you are in dark places, but you're going to laugh yourself out of that dark place when he performs the miracle in your life. Just in case you forget, I am the God of Jacob. Jacob is the son of Isaac, generational God. Yannick, what shall come forth from you is a son that is going to carry the anointing of God. God says, get ready and look and see what he's going to do, because he's a God of the generations. God says, as you trust him, as you put your faith in him, watch and see what he's going to do through your line. Huh? You heard it here.
Amen.
I am the God of Jacob. Jacob depicts the power and the grace of God to change and renew. Despite his cunning and deceitful ways, especially towards his twin brother, God says, despite that, I'm going to bless you anyway. I'm going to bless you anyway. And I'm going to change your name from Jacob to Israel.
Yes.
I'm going to change your situation because I love you so much, and because you are a blessing, and because you come from me. I'm going to bless you. So despite who you are, despite what you have done, God says, and this is a word, I hear it, the word for somebody, you've been living under the cloud for so long because of the position that you've been in. But God says today, he's about to change, and that's if you're willing, to change your name. Change your name from what you used to be to what you are going to become.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to be transformed from a deceiver to a miracle worker.
Amen.
You're going to be transformed from a thief to somebody who gives.
Right.
You're going to be transformed to a miracle worker. Transformed by the power of God to be my son, to be my daughter. Today I'm here to bless you, to change your name.
Amen.
To take you out of darkness into my marvelous light.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Please stand to your feet. That's where I'm finishing. The Lord of hosts is with us. Where is Triphena? The God of Jacob is our refuge. Please, somebody, just say that. Just say that. Somebody, just say that. Say that to your neighbor. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge. Say it again. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge. I need you to say it again because something is about to change. The Lord of hosts is with me. The God of Jacob is my refuge. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish here because there is a couple of people that I want to pray for. I spoke when actually I was away in Ireland last week, and I looked at Facebook and I saw from Lena that there was a young man. This was her nephew, 23 years old, and I'm thinking to myself, he's passed away. He's 23. He's passed away, and I'm thinking to myself, was he sick? And then I heard on Wednesday from Bobby that he drowned. 23 years old, young, bright, young man, nephew of Lena. And the family's in pain. They're under a dark cloud, and I'm going to just ask God to shine his light on their situation, on their whole family. God is able to do this. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the God of Lena. He's the God of Bobby. He's the God of Jacob. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave them nor forsake them. I want you to stretch your hands towards this family. Actually, let me ask the family to just come out so that you can see who they are. This family, just come. Stretch your hands to them. will take you through. He will take you through. I want you to just pray for them. Just pray for them. We thank God that this young man, 23, knew the Lord. He went to church in the morning, went to the sea afterwards, and he was drowned. And right now he's in heaven. But the family that are left behind, can we ask God just to comfort them? Please do that right now. We're brothers and sisters together in God. Just ask God to just put his hands around them. The whole family, even those in Mauritius. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you right now, even this dark cloud that hangs over them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, God, bring your peace. Bring your peace, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, church, you just pray right now. God says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never, ever leave you. Whatever position you're in, God says he will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. God, I ask for your strength right now. Your strength, strength of Almighty God upon them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brenda, I want to pray for you as well. But you can stay there. Brenda's niece had brain surgery earlier on last week. This week, well, yeah, this is the beginning of the next year. So we, again, can we just ask God for this niece of hers that she will be healed quickly and she will be restored in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, comfort Brenda. Take away worry. In Jesus' name, I pray, God, right now that she will know the peace of God in this situation. Lord, I ask you that this niece of hers will know the healing presence and the power of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Yannick, is there anything that you want to pray about? Yes, God.
Pray for others. The word says when two or more are gathered in your name,
then you are present. I am here gathered in God's name. If there is at least one more person here gathered in God's name, then I'm telling you right now, God is present. So as God is present right now, use this moment. Use this moment to pray for yourself, whatever dark situation that you're going through, whatever dark situation that you know someone else is going through. Use this moment to pray right now. There is a gap. There is a hedge. I am asking you to use this moment as God is present in our lives, as God is present in the church, to stand in that gap and to intercede for someone, to pray on someone's behalf. As God said in Ezekiel, I sought for one man to stand in the gap for the land. So as we pray now, we say to God, God, I am here. I'm standing in the gap for my son, my daughter, my friends, my husband, my wife, my students, my colleagues at work, whoever you want to intercede for, whoever you want to pray for, use this moment to pray for them. God is present in this room. And I pray that we will truly testify to this day. We will remember this day, and whether you come back to testify at church, whether you testify to your friends, you will say to people, I spoke on someone else's.